Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast, The Secret is Prayer. And we'll go ahead and continue our study on Genesis.
God, we're so grateful to be able to meet here together and to be in your presence today. We know it's a gift, and help us to never lose sight of that. While we're here together studying your word, the Bible, we ask that you'd open our eyes and our hearts to whatever it is you're wanting to teach us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so we're moving on with Genesis. We're on chapter 32. Yay! We left off with Jacob leaving Laban and heading back to where. They made a covenant to Jacob heads back to the promised land, and he leaves Laban, who had been taking advantage of him, and he made a covenant. They make a covenant to never, I guess, to stay separated, to where Laban's not gonna, you know, follow Jacob to where he went, and Jacob can't go back. So, so Jacob starts his journey back to God, to the promised land, with everything, with Leah and Rachel,
yes.
And they're heading back with all that he has accumulated, because he has a bunch of, you know, like, he did really well for himself while he was away, and he was gone, what, 20 years or more?
Yeah, 20 years.
So now he's headed back, and remember, he's heading back home to where Esau is going to be waiting for him, and where Esau had Jacob first left, because Esau was trying to kill him because he took Esau's inheritance
and birthright. Right.
Mm-hmm. And birthright. So so Jacob doesn't know what he's going home to, really, if he will be welcome, and so he prepares to meet Esau. So Jacob went on his way, and God's angels met him. When he saw them, Jacob said, "This is God's camp." So he called that place Mahanaim. Jacob sent messengers ahead of him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the territory of Edom. He commanded them, "You are to say to my lord Esau, this is what your servant Jacob says. I have been staying with Laban and have been delayed until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, and male and female slaves. I have sent this message to inform my lord in order to seek your favor." So, you know, the chapter begins, Jacob went on this way and God's angels met him. So somehow Jacob, he feels that God's angels are with him, and we don't know if he, it doesn't really say how he saw them, but he met them, and I think that's confirmation that he's headed in the right direction, that he's heading back to, because remember, God told him go back to to go back, and so I think this is confirmation that he's on the right path, you know. He feels that God's angels are there, and and if you know, you can read throughout all the Bible how God uses his angels to help us, and so here we have now two camps, you know, because you have Jacob's camp and then you have God's camp, right? So Jacob should feel, I would think that Jacob, that made him feel, that gave him peace, because he was getting ready to go meet Esau. A reassurance for him, right? And so, and another thing too, that it was a good thing. This is confirmation that he did the right thing by separating himself from Laban, who was taking advantage of him.
Advantage, right.
So then Jacob sends somebody to go ahead of him to meet Esau, and that he has all this stuff. You know, I think he's trying to let Esau know that he doesn't need anything from him, that he's coming, that he has all of this with him. So when the messengers returned to Jacob, they said, "We want your brother Esau. He's coming. We went to your brother Esau. He's coming to meet you, and he has 400 men with him." Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. So the messenger comes back and he's like, well, Esau's coming this way and he's bringing 400 men with him. So that scares Esau, right? It's not the...
It scares Jacob.
And that's not the message that he's expecting. So now he's greatly afraid and distressed. So...
Right.
So just before he had the angels of God with him, you know, and he... I would think that that would have given him, because he says this is God's camp. So he called that place Mahanaim. Mm-hmm. But now here we are, and he finds out that here comes Esau with 400 men, and there goes all that confidence, right? All that confidence goes out the window. So, and I think that that just goes to show where he's doubting, you know, where he's kind of like back and forth.
Or where he lets fear get control.
He lets fear, lets fear, take control. Yep. So then, so he divided the people with him into two camps, along with the flocks, herds, and camels. He thought if Esau comes to one camp and attacks it, the remaining one can escape. So he already had two camps. He had God's camp and his own camp, you know, so he had God's help with them. And, but no, he reacts off the fear, and right away he starts taking control of things. You know, the fear sits in. He starts taking control, making his own plans, trying to save himself. So
and
then,
isn't that kind of what we do too?
That is exactly what we do.
when it gets too hot in the kitchen, we're like, okay, I gotta do something. Right?
Yeah,
we start opening the
we
window.
React. Yes, yeah. I'm like, this is exactly what we do. And then, but then Jacob does pray to God. He does, the fear does remind him of God, and he does pray to God. God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, go back to your land and to your family, and I will cause you to prosper. I am unworthy of all your kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. Indeed, I crossed over the Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two camps. Please rescue me from my brother Esau, for I am afraid of him. Otherwise, he may come and attack me, the mothers and their children. You have said, I will cause you to prosper, and I will make your offspring like the sand of the sea, too numerous to be counted. He spent the night there and took part of what he had brought with him as a gift for his brother Esau. So he says a prayer. I wish he would have said, I wish the fear would have made him to react to the prayer first before he started splitting his camp, you know?
Right.
So, because God had already did that for him. He had the two camps. He had his camp, and then he had the angels, you know, he already had the two camps, but then he took it upon himself to split the people, you know, that way I only lose half. If they come and attack me, I can save half, and the other half, you know, I might lose it. So, he doesn't trust God. He prays to God and reminds God of what God promised him, which is how we should all pray, you know, with the promises that God has made for him. And he reminds God of that promise. So I love this prayer.
When he separates, that's him controlling, right?
That's so him controlling. Yeah, he's taking control. Yes, I believe, I think they should have stayed all together.
Okay.
And I think that God sending him the angels was preparing him to meet Esau, you know, because we're going to see here where he doesn't surrender. So Jacob spent the night there and took part of what he had brought with him as a gift for his brother Esau, 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 male camels with their young, 40 cows, 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. He entrusted them to his slaves as separate herds and said to them, go on ahead of me and leave some distance between the herds. So he gets all of that, splits it up. He tells them, go ahead of me, make some distance between y'all. I'm going to be way in the back. I'm going to be way in the back. And y'all go ahead of me. And y'all tell Esau, these are all gifts. So Jacob is surrendering his goats, his rams, his camel. He's surrendering all that stuff. except himself, you know? Right. He's not trusting God. Right. He's giving all that up, like, but he's not surrendering himself to God. He said the prayer, and he's, you know, he knows the angels are there, but deep down he doesn't trust that that's going to save him from Esau.
Right.
And
it's like the same kind of like his grandpa. Just say you're my sister. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And his dad, just say you're my sister. Yep. Like, but this time, instead of him being on his wives, he's giving him his stuff.
He's giving him all his stuff. So he's surrendering all that stuff. Like, here's all of this. You know, here's he's taking the control. He's not surrendering.
No.
Because he should have felt, you know, God is here. I know God is here. His angels are here. He showed me. Say the prayer, you know, because the prayer is full of thanksgiving and praise. And he's, you know, God did ask him to go back, and God told him, don't be afraid, I will be with you. And, but he still doesn't trust in that. He still doubts. He's still letting his fear.
Right. And we know
drive
God
him.
Before us. So God.
Yes. And he should have, Jacob should have been ahead, not in the back, leading, knowing that God is going before him, instead of hiding out in the back and, you know, hey, will y'all go ahead of me? But I think we can all
learn from that.
Yes. Because, and I think we've all been there, right?
Right.
But I think that goes to show too, you see the difference between when, because remember when he was with Laban, and Laban comes, and I don't know if I'm saying Laban right, or if it's Laban, or I don't know, but he,
I think it's Laban.
When Laban, remember when he leaves Laban, because Laban has been cheating him of the wages and taking advantage of him all those years. And the only reason why he kept them was because God was with Jacob, and that's why they were doing so well. Or remember when Laban follows him, when Jacob takes off and Laban follows him, and Jacob reacts to him like, he responds, he's not afraid. He responds to him like, I left. Yeah, but because this and this and that, I worked for you, you know. Okay, compare that confidence to this, where Jacob is now facing Esau, because he knew that with Laban, he was in the right. Jacob knew that he was in the right, and that Laban had been taking advantage of him. But with Esau, Jacob knew that he was in the wrong.
Right.
So instead of facing Esau, you know, instead of facing Esau, I did you wrong, what I did and when I left, he's hiding, you know, he's hiding behind all that stuff, instead of everything. Just head on, you know, facing Esau. Yeah, I messed up. What I did was wrong. You know, I come with God, you know, forgive me.
For forgiveness.
Yes. And instead he's hiding, you know, he's hiding from it. He's afraid. He doesn't want to face it.
Right.
So I thought that was very interesting. And that we can't escape from our wrongs, because here we are 20 years later and still he's having to face what he had did, you know, 20 years before.
All those years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And face what he had done to Esau. So then,
but, you know, knowing that God spoke to him, sending him back home, knowing all these promises that God had told him, he should have kept that confidence, you know?
I would have hoped so, because I know that now that's what I depend on, you know? I try to, now I know to look for that and depend on that, you know, to trust that.
Right.
But I can remember being here where I didn't, and you're afraid to face those things, some things alone, you know, and especially where we might have been wrong or were wrong.
Right. And it's hard to be vulnerable, I think.
Yes. Yep. And so then that night, so the gift was sent on ahead of him while he remained in the camp that night. During the night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two slave women, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream along with all his possessions. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not defeat him, he struck Jacob's hip socket. as they wrestled and dislocated his hip. Then he said to Jacob, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So Jacob wrestles with God, right? So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. So this man, we have to assume that that's Jesus, right? We're finding Jesus in the Old Testament. So this is like, this is an early, this is a Jesus, but in the earlier,
time.
Yeah, there you go. So, so Jesus, because look what it says, Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. So not that Jacob wrestled with the man, but a man wrestled with him. Okay, so Jacob was left alone and let's say Jesus wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not defeat him, so when Jesus saw that he could not defeat Jacob, he struck Jacob's hip socket, right, as they wrestled. So here you have, and I've looked at this story several, several times. Here you have Jacob afraid, right? Mm-hmm. You have him afraid. Jacob is used to scheming and, you know, trying to work things out on his own, making his own deals, you know, trying to get out of this and that. Because, you know, remember what happened with Leah and her sister. Remember what, you know, what he, all the scheming that he did with Esau and all that. So here's Jacob, you know, and now he's come, you know, this long journey with all his stuff. He's having to face Esau. So I can only imagine that he's, like it says, greatly afraid and distressed, right? So here's Jesus comes and Jesus is wrestling with him. And here he's physically wrestling with Jacob. And then Jesus cannot defeat him. But it's not, here it shows, you know, physically. And it's not that Jesus couldn't defeat him. It's that Jacob wouldn't give in.
Right.
Right. And
right.
So Jesus struck Jacob's hip socket and they wrestled and dislocated. And it dislocated his hip. So it took a blow to get him to surrender.
Right.
You know, it took a big blow. And then he said to Jacob, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." So I imagine them wrestling, right? Because it says they wrestled until daybreak, right? They wrestled until daybreak. So they wrestled all night. And how many times have we spiritually been in that same, where we wrestle with Jesus all night? You know, we're afraid, we're distressed, we're trying to control a situation. What everything we're doing is not working.
Right.
You know, we don't know what the outcome's going to be. So I think this was the wrestling that was going on between Jesus and Jacob, and that Jacob wouldn't surrender. You know, that Jacob wouldn't surrender himself to Jesus. And it took a blow. It took a blow to the hip. So, because that's painful. A dislocated hip is very painful. So it took that to get Jacob to surrender. And to where Jesus tells them, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So Jacob is saying, "I will not let you go unless you help me." You know, because that's, and how many times have we been there where we're like, "No, help me, help me, help me, please, Jesus, help me." But what is that blow like that it takes for us to get there to that rock bottom where we're crying out, "Help me, you know, please help me, help me." Because
so then our breaking point is similar to the dislocated hip in a way.
Yeah, I think so. Because what's it going to take, right? What was the blow that it took for us to break to where he's crying out? Because he might have prayed, but then he still didn't surrender.
Right.
And you know, when we're asking, you know, when it's easy to say surrender, you know, and I've surrendered. But sometimes I think that's what Jacob was trying to do. because he saw the angels at the camp. He saw the angels at the camp. He said the prayer, you know, and got him here because you told me to come here. He reminds God of his promises.
Right.
But then he still goes and is hiding in the back. He sends all his stuff before him, all, you know, as gifts for Esau. He separates his camp. It's kind of like on a run because he's saving half of the camp. And then he's, you know, way in the back. He sends all those things for Esau to try and and find favor with Esau. So he hasn't fully surrendered. And so that night he's alone and Jesus physically wrestles with him, you know, but in the same way, spiritually, I think we wrestle. We have that fight with Jesus. You know, we have that, that wrestling with Jesus. And so it takes a big blow, a dislocated hip to get him to surrender and to cry out, to get to that, that rock bottom, that breaking point and cry out for Jesus to help him. Because he had to have thought there's nothing else I can do. Please. Like he didn't want to let him go. Like, please, you have to help me, you know?
Yeah. I think I would do that too. I would hold on to his leg. You know those where the kids drag it?
Yeah. That would be like, no, you have to help me. Because it's like, I feel like Jesus was wrestling him. I picture like, you know, when you see a fight, and I'm sure you've seen it in many movies where they're wrestling and they're fighting and the guy's losing, but he won't stop fighting.
When one hugs the boxer, right?
Yeah, and he's, and like he refuses to surrender, to fall. Yeah, and it's like you're losing this battle, and he refuses, and you're refusing, and you keep getting up, and you keep on fighting, and you keep on fighting, and I think that can get confusing to when we, like Jesus saying, you don't have to fight anymore, let me help you, but how do we get to that point where you know, I can't fight, where we admit I can't do this anymore. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. To give up that control. Like, what's it going to take to give up that control to him? Because he's like, let me help you. But we're like, no, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. We won't step aside. Right. And it's not until, I would say it's not until he gets exhausted, but it's not. It's until he dislocates his hip. He wouldn't stop. He wouldn't let go.
Well, it's like when he sends you all these things to try to stop you, turn you in the right direction. First, they start out small, so that can be, you know, can be like wrestling. And then he sends you something big, and that can be hits you, you know, like by throwing you something, either getting you,
sick, an illness,
or something that's going to stop you.
Mm-hmm. What does that blow pay have attention. To be? Yeah. Yep. For Jacob, it was a dislocated hip. But for us, what does it have to, what's it going to take, right? What's it going to take for us to surrender?
That's true.
Then Jesus asked him, what is your name?
No, Jacob asked him.
Yeah, it was Jacob.
It was Jesus asked Jacob first, what is your name? And he replies, Jacob. But okay, I think that here Jesus is making a point, like, what is your name? And he says, Jacob. And then he says, your name will no longer be Jacob, he said. It will be Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. So I think he just asked, you know, Jesus asked him, what is your name? Just to make it a point that you are no longer Jacob. You know, Jacob is saying, my name is Jacob, but he's saying, okay, you are no longer this man. You have prevailed, because he surrendered. Ultimately, he surrendered. Your name is now Israel.
Okay. And then right here, it's confirmation. Reason. He says he struggled with God.
So he struggled with God. Yeah.
Okay.
And Jesus was in, you know, he would change names. So that's another way of proving
confirmation. Yeah. That when he gives them. Yep. Yep. But it did take a lot for.
I always thought it was Jacob who asked him, but okay.
Well, he does ask him. Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he answered, why do you ask my name? And he blessed him there. So Jesus never gives him his name.
But in the beginning, before that, he does say, it will be Israel, because you have struggled with God. So maybe that's why he's like, why are you asking me?
Well, yeah, I already told you. Yeah. Yep. And that's how he does do that, you know? Mm-hmm. So Jacob then named the place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, he said, yet my life has been spared. The sun shone on him as he passed by Peniel, limping because of his hip. That is why still today the Israelis don't eat the thigh muscle that is at the hip socket, because he struck Jacob's hip socket at the thigh muscle. So this wasn't going to be something Jacob was going to forget anytime
ever
soon, you know, ever. Yeah, because he saw now, he understood now what God was trying to do, and that he, that it had to be God that went in and to get to that point where he can trust God, right? And that it was going to be right. God who saves them, not him.
That was himself. His humbling moment.
Yes. Yep. Yep. So, wow. So I thought that was really,
that's such a, I love that chapter.
I love that chapter because it's us, you know, because I can remember mm-hmm. being there and fighting, you know,
yeah.
Struggling with God, and you think you surrender, but we haven't, you know, because we're still trying to take control. We're not giving God the space to work. We're still trying to do everything. And sometimes it's with good intentions. You know, we think we know what's best.
So much in those small verses right there, you know, because you're right. We do wrestle with him and we do get dislocated. It has to humble us to know that we mm-hmm. can hold on to him without falling, because we need that strength of him to carry us, you know?
Yes. Yep. And I think that for most of us who have experienced this, and that where we recognize that it's that God, it's, you know, that it's Jesus that can save us, we're not going to forget it. You know, we also have that limp, right? Because we're not going to forget that blow,
right?
That it took, true. You know?
Yeah. Yes.
Because it does take a blow, you know. It's, we're so far gone that it does take a blow, and that's just unfortunate. So then Jacob meets Esau. Now Jacob looked up and saw Esau coming towards him with 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two slave women. He put the slaves and their children first, Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph last. So, and then it says, he himself went on ahead and bowed to the ground 7 times until he approached his brother. So now he put himself ahead, you know, to where before he was hiding in the back. Now he's in the front.
Well, maybe he had to, right? Because he couldn't really walk, right? So he's like, y'all stay behind in case I fall. Y'all can lift me.
And it's like it took that, you know, to finally get that. Him to, mm-hmm. yeah. So to find that confidence, I guess, you know, to go walk in the front. And then, but he puts Rachel and Joseph last. So I guess to keep them safe is he put them last, because it's weird how he gives the order of everybody. He put Leah, Rachel, and the two slave women. He put the slaves and their children first, Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph last. He himself went on ahead, you know? I think those were his favorite. Remember, he loved Rachel. So he put Rachel and Joseph last, because before it was him last, because he was trying to save himself. And so now it was Rachel and Joseph. So, but Esau ran to meet him, hugged him, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. That was all God right there, you know?
Yes.
That was all God right there. Yes. And he, without what had happened before, he wouldn't have had that, you know? And I think that's what God wanted him to have. And I think that Jacob could appreciate that now. Then they wept. When Esau looked up and saw the women and children, he asked, who are these with you? He answered, the children God has graciously given your servant. Then the slaves and their children approached him and bowed down. Leah and her children also approached and bowed down. And then Joseph and Rachel approached and bowed down. So Esau said, what do you mean by the whole procession I met? And he says, to find favor with you, my lord, he answered. I have enough, my brother. Esau replied, keep what you have. But Jacob said, no, please, if I have found favor with you, take this gift from me. So now Jacob's even trying, he's trying to gift them all this stuff. So,
right.
You know, that I think there's no way that couldn't have happened without God. And I think that was God, right. You know, bringing Jacob home where he needed to be, you know, being able for them to forgive each other and
to restore that brotherly relationship.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. And that's what happens when we let God go ahead of us. You know, it's, right. That can happen, because without God, that wouldn't have happened. You know, who knows what would have happened.
Yeah.
Then Esau said, let's move on and I'll go ahead of you. But Jacob replies, my Lord knows that the children are weak and I have nursing flocks and herds. If they are driven hard for one day, the whole herd will die. Let my Lord go ahead of his servant. I will continue on slowly at a pace suited to the livestock and the children until I come to my Lord at Seir. So then Esau's telling him, well, go back with me. But Jacob is telling him, Jacob doesn't want to go back with him. And Jacob's telling him, well, if you go on ahead, I'll follow you. Because, you know, he has a bunch of young livestock, and, you know, they have to go slower and rest and all that. So Esau said, let me leave some of my people with you. But he replied, why do that? Please indulge me, my Lord. That day, Esau started on his way back to Seir, but Jacob went to Succoth. He built a house for himself and shelters for his livestock. That is why the place is called Succoth. After Jacob came from Paddan Aram, he arrived safely at Shechem in the land of Canaan and camped in front of the city. He purchased a section of the field where he had pitched his tent from the sons of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of silver, and he set up an altar there and called it God, the God of Israel. So now we have where he pitched a tent like Abraham, and he put up an altar there. So, but we will keep reading, and we will see if this was where God wanted him to be. But I thought that was interesting how he didn't follow Esau. Because I thought he was supposed to go back home to where he sat, to where, like, Abraham and Sarah.
But he doesn't.
Not Abraham and Sarah, to where Rebecca and Isaac.
Maybe so they, well.
So he goes to Shechem.
Shechem.
Yeah. Oh, maybe that sounds better. So he goes to
But I did want to say real quick, if we can go back to the other page, to chapter 33, on the verses, because you said that none of this could have happened with God. And we didn't read this part, but I think this is confirmation for what you said on verse 10. It says, but Jacob said, no, please, if I have found favor with you, take this gift for me. Indeed, I have seen your face as it is like seeing God's face. And so I thought, wow, that's confirmation.
Yeah.
Like what you just said, because if it wasn't for God to intervene, he saw Jesus through his brother by accepting him, forgiving him, you know?
Yeah. So and you know, and those are, you know, I'm glad you pointed that out, because that's, you know, because in how many families do we see today that where, you know, you're separated from your siblings or because of a grudge or because of a disagreement that happened years ago, you know, and you're not able to forgive each other or, you know, see each other again or talk again.
But it says that Jacob traveled in the other direction. So
yeah, he didn't follow Esau. Yeah. He Jacob decided to go in another direction. So that's why I was saying at the end, we're going to see if that's where God wanted him to be.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because he settled. He went another way and settled. He started on his way back to Seir, but Jacob went to Succoth. That's where he went, Succoth. Yeah. He built a house for himself and shelters for his livestock. So he didn't follow Esau back to where Isaac and
the family was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe we'll see how it goes. But
yeah,
maybe
let's see how it goes.
Yeah. Well, Tony said because he was afraid that he was going to change his mind. And I guess, sorry.
Or maybe too, he learned with Laban, if you have so much, you know, coming together, mixing, it might not go so well. So maybe that could be the reason where he,
Yep, so he, so we'll keep reading. So in chapter 34, Leah's daughter Dinah, whom Leah bore to Jacob, went out to see some of the young women of the area. Because remember, where they were at, they all still lived there. And remember, they weren't of God. They weren't part of the covenant with God. Remember,
right.
So so here now, Dinah goes to meet some of the women in the area. When Sishem, son of Hamar the Hivite, who was the region's chieftain, saw her, he took her and raped her. He became infatuated with Jacob's daughter, Dinah. He loved the young girl and spoke tenderly to her. "Get me this girl as a wife," he told his father. So that where they're living, it's not safe, you know, because remember how when Abraham had told, how they told, they had to go find a wife for Isaac somewhere else, not in that area.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it surprises me that they would let Dinah go, because it's like she went to go meet some of the women of the area, because I would think that they would have protected her more.
Yeah.
You know, and that not to where she would be wandering around. And then, so then she's raped by Hamor the Hivite, who was the region's chieftain. So Jacob heard that Sishem had defiled his daughter Dinah, but since his sons were with his livestock in the field, he remained silent until they returned. Meanwhile, Sishem's father Hamor came to speak with Jacob. Jacob's sons returned from the field when they heard about the incident and were deeply grieved and very angry, for Sishem had committed an outrage against Israel by raping Jacob's daughter, and such a thing should not be done. Mm-hmm. Hamor said to Jacob's son, "My son Sishem has his heart set on your daughter. Please give her to him as a wife. Intermarry with us, give us your daughters to us, and take our daughters for yourselves." So they're like, you know, yeah, he raped her, but you know what? Why don't you just go ahead and let them get married, you know, and our daughters will marry your mm-hmm. men, and your men can marry our daughters. Like
it happens every day. Yeah.
And then, but Jacob should already know that they shouldn't be doing that, you know, and right. Jacob is silent, because it just says Jacob is silent that he's waiting for his sons. But I don't think Jacob, as I was reading, I don't think Jacob ever says anything. I don't think he ever answers him, because it's his sons who respond to that offer. Right. Then Sishem said to Dinah's father,
"Well, how old brothers, was Jacob during this time? Because he might have been already an old man."
Well, they're already adults, the kids, right?
No, Jacob.
It doesn't say, well, because remember, he was gone for 20 years.
So he was 30.
I don't think he could have been that old, because it doesn't say.
Oh, but he had a messed up hip, so he's not going to be able to defend himself.
He was in his 30s when he got with Rachel, I think.
But so still, Jacob should, and you're the leader. You're the leader of all these people, you know, so you can't just not say nothing. And then Sishem, but Jacob's sons answered Sishem, so it's his sons that answer him. And his father Hamor, deceitfully, because he had defiled their sister Dinah. So even Jacob's sons now are starting a scheme, you know. Mm-hmm. So they say, "We cannot do this thing," they said to them. "Giving our sister to an uncircumcised man is a disgrace to us." So you see, they weren't of the same covenant. They didn't have the same beliefs. So they weren't supposed to be intermarrying with these people.
With them. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. "So we will agree with you only on this condition: if all your males are circumcised as we are, then we will give you our daughters, take your daughters for ourselves, live with you, and become one people. But if you will not listen to us and be circumcised, then we will take our daughters and go." Their words seemed good to Hamor and his son Sishem. So the sons tell them, if y'all go get circumcised, you know, and these are grown men already, if y'all go get circumcised, then we can intermarry our, you know, our daughters.
Our families, yeah.
Our families. And so these men are, so then Hamor and Sichem say, these men are peaceful toward us. They said, let them live in our land and move about in it, for indeed the region is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters as our wives and give our daughters mm-hmm. to them. But the men will agree to live with us and be one people. So they're like, yeah, that's, you know, this is going to work. We can both, you know, profit off of this. Their livestock will be ours, their possessions and all their animals become ours.
So but they definitely had other things driving them to this.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. So they're already scheming. Here we see back to, because Jacob at any time could have stopped this, right?
Right.
Because I'm assuming he's in on all this. It doesn't say that he's not. So all the men who had come to the city.
Well, and they were angry too at that time. For what
they were angry. Them. Yeah. So
and he all the to God again.
Right. Again, he should have, you know.
Yeah.
It's he should have gone. I mean, I would have hoped that that would have been his first reaction, you know, instead of waiting for his sons, go to God. Mm-hmm. All the men who had come to the city gates listened to Hamor and his son Sichem, and all those men were circumcised. On the third day, when they were still in pain, because hey, you have grown men, you know, two of Jacob's sons, Simon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, took their swords, went into the unsuspecting city, and killed every male. So it was a trap, right?
Right.
They killed Hamor and his son, Sichem, with their swords, took Dinah from Sichem's house, and went away. Jacob's sons came to slaughter and plunder the city because their sister had been defiled. They took their flocks, herds, donkeys, and whatever was in the city and in the field. They captured all their possessions, dependents, and wives, and plundered everything in the houses. Then Jacob said to Simon and Levi, you have brought trouble on me, making me odious to the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites and the Perizzites. We are few in number. If they unite against me and attack me, I and my household will be destroyed. But they answered, should he treat our sister like a prostitute? So, I don't know. There's a lot there. Because, you see, the next chapter is return to Bethel. I think Jacob was supposed to keep going all the way back to Bethel. And so he stopped.
Consequences. Yeah.
Yeah. He stopped where
back
he was.
Back with his brother, right?
Yeah. Follow Esau. Yes. And he didn't. He stops here. He makes a tent, you know, he puts an altar, but he should have asked God, you know, I think he should have gone back to God there and God
like would have, Abraham.
Yeah. And protected him maybe from this even happening or for guidance before taking vengeance themselves, because he waited instead of waiting for God, he waited for his sons, you know?
Right. But then it's hard too, because right here, isn't it kind of like confirmation that he wasn't going to do anything about it? Like, he was really going to let them take his daughter, you know?
Well,
he just as bad, right.
That would have been wrong, too. That would have been wrong, too, because they would have been intermarrying with people who were not a part of the covenant,
right?
You know?
Right.
So, or non-believers, you know? They would have been with the pagans. They would have been intermarrying with people who didn't believe in God. And this, you know, and our God. So, so he loses his way again. Is what happens. Yep. You know, he decides to. He gets confident with Esau. So he sees that Esau, you know, things went well with Esau, but he doesn't really trust Esau. So we're gonna settle here, you know, and it doesn't go well for him. So, we're going to have to wait until the next chapter, because that was our three chapters.
Ooh, 33. To be continued.
It was? Oh, this isn't good.
That was 32, 33, yep, and 34.
And 34.
So.
Wow. And
the series continues, yes.
Yes, it's and wow. There's so much there in those, because I think, you know, as crazy as the stories sound, but that's us. That's our lives today, you know?
Yep.
Because yeah. even with Dinah, you know, being not alone to go meet with the other women, I think as parents and as moms, you know, we need to be real careful where our daughters are and where they go, you know, because mm-hmm. we're like living in this place now because we're surrounded by unbelievers, you know, and
right.
And there should have been more caution there. So I think that that's a warning in itself, you know, to be careful with our daughters and who they marry to. And we've been talking about that since the beginning where, you know, to pray for who they marry, that God sent is someone that God sent, and not just that they're out there. They go out there right. and they find someone, or let somebody find them, you know, instead of it being someone sent from God. Right. And then the struggle.
Jacob was the leader. Jacob was supposed to be the leader. Well, of his family.
And we see how Jacob, and that's so troubling to me. It's disappointing yeah. because although, I mean, I can relate to Jacob because I think that's all of us, but it's, you know, how he changes, you know, but then falls back. And then we saw that with Abraham, too. We saw that with Isaac. It's how easy it is right. to fall back to our old ways, you know.
But it's almost like it doesn't seem like such a big gap between when he wrestled with God to this point.
Yeah.
It's like it's almost like overnight. Like, really? What are you thinking? Does the limp not remind him every day?
Well, that would hope so, because I would hope so, you know, and that's one of the things that I pray, you know, like never let me forget, you know.
Oh, for sure.
Or let me get lost again to where I was before. Like, no. And I remember my limp.
Yeah. Well, and maybe that's why I think when our seasons get to be really good and we think, oh, we're in this consolation. I mm-hmm. think, you know, God has to send a little desolation and a little shaking up to remind us, like, you know, we still need him. Just because we're happy yeah. doesn't mean we don't need him. We need him in all aspects of our lives.
And that the enemy never stops, you know, the enemy right. never stops, and that he's always looking for any opportunity right? to right. come in, and you know, because he comes to steal and destroy and he never stops, you know. So I think right. that's like one of the things
with Jacob and Esau, because it just kind of shows you the enemy's not just out to destroy marriages, but it can go right. to siblings as well, or yes. the parent and child. It's not right. just
if you're not united life. Right yeah if you're not yeah. united you know right. a team, then he'll pick you off one by one, you know?
One by one. Yes. Yep. And I heard this thing on a video, and it's the thing is, you know, like the enemy can't read our minds. Only God can. But he can see, he can enter, he can put thoughts in our mind and see how we react to them. And then he knows, oh, this is what I'm going to use against that person, you know? So we right. have to be careful with those doors, not to give him anything to read our
yeah because he's out. he's very clever, he's been working on us for, you know, he's been watching us for a long time, so he knows our weaknesses, you know, yes. and our strengths, and he can use those against us, you know. So we exactly. have to be very careful, and while we very have to stay careful. Close to God and ask for his help, you know, because that's what it took for look what it took for Jacob to ask for his help, and, you know, to ask for that right. blessing. And I think that we need to, like you say, stay humble and remember to go back to him, to God right. and ask for help.
Exactly. Exactly. And so now we kind of see now the stories of his children, you know, Jacob's children, and how our actions do have consequences, you know?
Right. Because remember, Jacob started as a schemer, and now you have his children doing the same thing.
Yes. Yep. Are we ready?
Okay, good. For yeah. Our closing? So you have our closing prayer?
I do. I'll be reading from 1 John. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in one's possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world with its lust is passing away, but the one who does the will of God remains forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you, everyone, for joining us. And we'll see you next week.